Welcome to How Now, the podcast where we talk about how to live in the now. And here's your host, Kim Martin Raymond.
Peace and blessings, love and light, and welcome to this edition of the How Now podcast, where we talk about how to live in the now. I am your host, Kim Martin Raymond. I am a minister, spiritual life coach, holistic nutritionist, author, and founder of Redefining You LLC, where I help my clients to realign themselves, mind, body, and spirit. And welcome to tonight's show. If this is your first time joining me on the How Now podcast, welcome to the How Now podcast family. Make sure that you go to www.hownowpodcast.com. Pick your favorite podcast platform, and there you can like, follow, share, and subscribe. You can also scroll to the bottom of the page where you'll see the banner for this week's show, and it will take you to the How Now YouTube channel. Be sure to like, follow, share, and subscribe there as well. And make sure that you click the notification button so you always know what's happening in the now. Again, that's www.hownowpodcast.com. So let's get into tonight's show, where we're going to be talking about life less young. Okay, there's a whole lot to unpack when it comes to talking about life less young. And what does that mean? And who does that apply to? And how do we apply it to the lives that we're living right now? And to help me to kind of sort through the weeds of what that's all about, living a life less young, is my beautiful guest. And as is customary with the How Now podcast, I'm going to have her to introduce herself at this time. Right.
My name is Barbara Miller, and I started my Life Less Young Instagram footprint and my blog because I was getting older. And Life Less Young is just what the name implies. It is living life less young. And there are lots of changes that happen as we continue along that journey. When I was growing up, my, I like to call them Miss Ladies, the ladies who would sit on the porch and trade stories. And I would always hear them say, life brings about a change. Life brings about a change. And I always wondered what they were talking about. And now I know.
So it was a life less young. So what is it that you are currently doing as far as your profession?
So I am, I have a bachelor's, a master's in gerontology. And I've always been interested in aging. I got my bachelor's in psychology back in 1974. And in 2000, I think I finished in 2017 is when I got my master's in gerontology. There were two things happening. I was in the throes of menopause and in the beginning stages of becoming a parent caregiver. Mm. And I was interested in the textbook side of all of this and how I could balance the two and what I needed to know in order to take that journey with, for myself, but also with my parent. And it's just, it was as rewarding as it was challenging, because I'm not in my 20s or when my mom cared for her mother, she was a much younger woman. When I started caring for my mother, I was in my 50s. Wow. And I am now 66 years old.
Beautiful.
And, you know, life less young is all that it implies. Sometimes I look at Instagram and I see older women and older men, and they are just doing some incredible things. And I'm like, how y'all doing all that? But you know, I have come to learn that I don't want to get caught up in FOMO, because I'm not missing out on anything. I am living life in the now, every day as it comes. Some days things are, I feel great. And there are some days that I don't feel great. And, you know, I want to be vulnerable enough to talk about that, because I think that it's important that women behind me understand that you're going to walk this journey one day, and it's not going to be always this beautiful picture or this beautiful reel that you see on Instagram.
Right.
What you see on Instagram is the finished product.
Right.
You don't know what that person had to do to right. get to that point.
Right.
And so I that's what I talk about.
Yeah. See, and that's a blessing. That's a blessing. So let me go back to the gerontology. Like you said, that you know, studied and got your master's degree in gerontology. So you were studying what it was like to you know, to be involved in the aging process. And as you were going through that, did you start to see some things in your own life where you're just like, uh-oh, wait a minute now. I think I'm there. Or oh, you know, this is what happens at this point. Did you notice that as you were doing your studies that all of a sudden you began to see things starting to manifest in your own life where you were just like, wow, I'm there?
Yes. So all of the things that I would hear the Miss ladies talking about when I was growing up about how age brings about a change, all of their aches, their pains, you know, I would hear my grandmother say she had a bunion on her foot, and she said it felt like thunder. Mm. And I felt the thunder one day. So you know, the chickens came home to roost.
Right, right.
Yes. And so all of those changes that you are going to experience. I came out of high heels, you know, a few years ago. There is no shame in my game with the flat shoes. You know, yes, you're closer to the ground and you're minimizing the risk of the fall.
That's right. Look, I'm 5'9". It's 9. It's a long way down.
Absolutely. It is a long way down. And, you know, I went to San Diego not long ago, and I was going to take the picture standing on rocks. And the next thing I knew, I was laying on sand because, I didn't break anything. I think I have some strong bones. Evidently, yes. I did not break anything. But yeah, I'm like, okay, first of all, yeah, you're not 20. You cannot climb rocks in sand.
Right.
Just right. So you can get this picture to put on reels. Girl, stop. Right. Yeah.
So you said, so what happens is, like I said, your body starts responding, but do you feel that in your studies that it prepared you for it? Or do you just not feel like you were prepared for it, even though you knew it was coming, or you knew that there were certain things that you were going to expect when they came? Did you feel like, okay, yeah, I knew this was coming, so I'm kind of prepared for it? Or were you just still like,
no, so I'll tell you, so that's a great question. So there is the textbook, right. And then there is real life. And so, yes, even though you have the knowledge base, right. Even though you've read the research, reality steps in and it's a little bit close to home now, right? Mm-hmm. That you are actually experiencing those things that you're reading about.
Right.
Yes,
Wow.
absolutely. And then,
Wow.
you know, being a woman who in her 50s and her 60s, caring for a parent, again, you know, until you are inside of walking in that journey,
Yes.
the textbook is a great reference.
Right.
The degree was a great reference, but when you're living in that moment,
Yeah.
yeah,
Yeah, it's totally different. You know, just like they
it's
said, that
totally different.
just like when we think about having our children, you know, there's
Right.
no textbook that's going to tell you how to raise a child. They
Right.
can give you a little skeleton and give you something that may come up, but the way it manifests is not the same for every person. There's always something that's a little different. You know, yeah, that bunion, like you
Absolutely.
said, felt like thunder. Somebody else be like, not so much, but I had it had me limping for 2 weeks, or you know,
Right.
it became real for me, and I don't know, in gerontology, what age range does it normally start? Do the studies start at a particular age? Is it like in your 40s or your 50s, or does it?
Well, you know, when I turned 50, AARP sent me my application. So there you go.
Yeah, I got mine too. Mine came and I was like, what is this? And then when I saw
Yeah.
discounts, I was like, all right, then, never mind. I'll take it. I'll take
Yeah.
it. You
Yeah,
know?
I'm
But yeah.
you're in the new club now.
There
Yeah.
you go. Okay, so we said that's a decent marker. And so, yeah, because what happens is, like you said, it got real for me when I was attending a birthday party for a member of my church, and she was turning 60, and they had a little there. They of course they had the music going, so you know I stepped out on the dance floor because you know I still got a couple of moves. I was like, okay, went out there, did
Right.
one line dance, Barbara, one line dance, and I everything was fine. I sat down, you know, whoo, they was like, okay, girl, you're getting it. I was like, all right. I went home, woke up the next morning, my knee was the size of my head. What happened to my knee? I twisted something. That was the beginning of the end of high heels for me, and I
Yes.
had to. Well, I was on a cane, hobbling around for about a week and a half.
The
And I, when
struggle
I
is
went to
real.
church, when I went to church that Sunday, they were like, "Miss Kim, show me." They was like, "Uh-oh." They said, "You dip, baby, dip." I said, "Uh-oh." I guess I should have zigged when I or zagged when I should have zigged or something, but all of a sudden it became real because I was like, okay, since when? I could go out and dance all night. And now all of a sudden I do one line dance and my knee swells up the size of my head. What's going on with that? So yeah,
That's
your
right.
body starts responding in ways, and then you know, you don't see it coming. Even though you know you hear about people, you say, oh, they say, oh, you know, you're aging, oh, you're getting up there, oh, you're a half a century, and you're like, okay, you know, no big deal. I don't feel like I'm a half a century, and then something happens. And it's almost like a slippery slope from there. It seems like,
Oh
but to me, it
yeah, you
started even
know.
earlier than that. To me, it started back at like 40. I felt like every year it was something different. You know, one year I was lactose intolerant. The next year was excessive gas. The next year was busted knee. Next thing you know, your back's not working.
Yes.
There's no way to prepare for that. Even like you
Right.
said, you can read all the books and get all the degrees in the world, but you know, it's
Right.
not until you can't get about that bed the way you used to that you're
Right.
like, uh-oh.
Well,
And I
and you
guess that's how
know,
you respond.
even seemingly healthy people,
Yes.
people who are eating right, people who are exercising, people, there are still changes that will affect you as you get older. I mean, it's just the circle of life. I mean, there are things that are going to be different.
Yeah, and I think that the key thing also is that it's not just things that are happening physically, it's things that are happening psychologically, right?
Absolutely. That's a whole nother talk show.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Okay, because I tell people right now
Absolutely.
I am memory resistant. If I don't write it down, it didn't happen.
Absolutely.
I keep a lot of paper and a lot of pens and sticky notes and apps on my phone to remind me and alarms and things to do because I cannot remember.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think that
And
when we talk
you know
about
what?
life lessons,
It's frightening, you know. It's frightening. I mean, when I was, you know, I think that when I was much younger and I was great at multitasking, I don't multitask anymore. I need to do one thing at a time. I can juggle a few balls in the air, but as far as the type of multitasking that I did in my 20s and in my 30s, I'm not there anymore. And it's okay because the good thing is that science says that our brains were not really designed to multitask. So I'm like, okay, yay.
I was like, that's a relief.
That's a relief. It actually made me feel better about the fact that I couldn't do the same type of multitasking anymore. And it's okay. You know?
And I think that's a, I think that comes along with too. It's how we accept it. Because you hear about
Right.
people who go through midlife crisis and people who try to recapture their youth and all of these things. And you know, we always see, you know, of course, in media, they, you know, portray the men as, you know, going out and getting that sports car, or people are going out, or women going out
Yes.
there getting their Daisy Dukes back out and trying to, you know, lift and move and change parts of their body to
Right.
recapture that youth. And I think even when we're talking about a life less young, and what that entails, it's just a it's definitely a state of mind as well, right?
Right. Yeah, it is a state of mind. I think though it should be a healthy state of mind because you do need to minimize your risk as you age. You know, so you know, I will have people say, "You're not old. Age is a state of mind." Yes, it is. Yeah, the state of mind has its place, but you still need to use good common sense and wisdom. There are things that I did in my 20s, my 30s, even my 40s that I wouldn't dare attempt to do now. Only because I'm like thinking, except for when I went to San Diego and climbed the rock. yeah, I got a little
For the moment,
overzealous. I looked
right?
at them and I'm go, oh, psh, I got this. I can do that. But yeah, but you do need to have that healthy state of mind. Yes.
And I think it's also good, you know, because when we talk about that, I think about wellness, of course, because that's my thing. I'm a holistic nutritionist, so you know, of course, we have to talk about wellness and that
Right.
aspect of. You know, when we were in our 20s and 30s, we didn't spend that much time going to the doctor, and we didn't really focus on preventive care and things of that
Absolutely.
nature. And that's something that's so critical when we talk about, you know, aging and the importance of making sure that we understand what our body is doing, so that, you know, try to liken it to a car. You know, when that little indicator light comes on, you know that something's wrong. But if
Right.
you don't see that indicator light, or you don't notice it until something breaks down, then you've got to go back and be like, okay, so now we got to figure out what's wrong, what happened. And I
Right.
think that as we're getting older, if we're taking time to really tap into, you know, our wellness, getting to know our bodies, knowing when things are feeling different, or things are not the way
Right.
they used to, or things don't feel the way they used to, something is stiff, and not addressing it. You know, that then becomes a whole nother issue in and of itself.
Right.
Because, you know, so I think that is definitely important that we, you know, take time to look at our wellness and start looking at, okay, if we're talking about living a life less young, what are we doing to preserve our bones? Just like you said,
Absolutely.
there are some people who would have fallen on those rocks like you did in San Diego and broke something.
Right.
One, two, three, four bones, you know, because their bones may have been brittle because of their diet, or their
Right.
exercise regimen, or their lack of flexibility, things like that. All of
Right.
those things come into play. And
And things
so,
that you don't know until something happens.
right.
That's one of the big caveats is that a lot of times as we get older and something does happen, you didn't have prior knowledge that there was even an issue.
Right.
Until something happens, and now the issue is front and center. So preventative care, I practice preventative care more now than I did in my 20s and in my 30s, because I have always been of small stature, and I kind of had these built-in kind of muscles, you know? Yeah, I didn't feel like I needed to, you know, I'm doing just fine. You know, I don't need to go to the gym every day. I can eat whatever I want to eat. I didn't gain weight. And all of that changed with the big M, you know, menopause hit, and all of a sudden I can gain weight. And
look at the food.
Yeah, that was eye-opening. Menopause was very eye-opening.
So because it's definitely different. And of course, you know, you can speak to a woman's perspective, because yes, we go through that. I'm going through perimenopause, and it is just a roller coaster ride, and it it takes over your body, it takes over your emotions, all kinds of things. So there's so much that comes along with that. And so just like you said, preventative care. And then, you know, we have things like, you know, our annual mammograms and things of that nature, and
smears
and things that we have to take as women that we have to go through. So for men, you know, maybe prostate, you know, checking on things like that. Because, you know, I think, and I have to speak to the African-American community, what tends to happen is we wait until something happens before we go and do those, you know, annual checkups. If you know, if you have health care and you're able to go and take that annual physical, why are we not taking advantage of that? Especially if it's something that they offer through your insurance for free, or, you know, some people don't have that luxury. So it just, you know, I think that, you know, with healthcare, it gets a little touch and go, because some people feel like, you know, it's going to be too expensive. I'm worried, you know, I'm not going to have the money. I don't have the copay, or we don't have certain things in our particular state that can help us. And so I think that it's a disservice there, because some people are not getting the, or not taking, are not able to take advantage of the preventative care that they could if those things were, you know, available to at a low cost or at no cost at all.
Right. And you have to be your own advocate for your own health. And that means exercise, that means eating a balanced diet, that means cutting back on sugar has been one of the hardest things for me. It became easier because when I was going through menopause, if I ate sugar, that was a hot flash, you know, it definitely triggered. So it's like, okay, I know that's a trigger. So, you know, I can't eat this, but you do have to be your own advocate, your own best advocate, because my goal is to not have a gallon bag of medication.
Right.
I go to the doctor, and the nurse is like, and that's all the medication? Yes. I mean, yes, I am not getting ready to have a gallon bag of medication, you know.
Like I said, we've seen our grandparents, and we've seen them have the pill boxes every day of the week, and there's four rows, and they've got the pills are practically coming out of each of, you know, those little compartments. We've seen it. And that's where, you know, you said you have to be your biggest advocate. That is the biggest takeaway, you know, up to this point with regards to living a life less young.
Right.
You know, advocating for yourself and for your health, being able to ask the questions. You know, we've been around long enough to ask some questions about some things that you know, we're not familiar with. This is the age of technology. We can go online, or we can ask, you know, this is happening, I'm seeing these symptoms, things are going wrong. But we definitely have to advocate for ourselves. The one thing that I you know, give my doctor props for is that she, you know, her goal is, she said, my goal is not for you to be on any medication.
Right.
And I am pleased to say that at this moment, the only thing that I'm taking is multivitamins, You
That
know,
is
as a
awesome.
supplement. And that's the
Right.
I'm not taking I was taking medication for my type 2 diabetes, and I have since changed my diet and exercise, and with the weight loss that I've had, you know, it's been about 7 or 8 months now that I have not been on any type of diabetic
It's
medication.
wonderful.
But we have to, you know, what we have to advocate for our health. And we have to make sure that our, you know, that is, you know, the interest of our physicians, that they're on the same page with us with regards to advocating for
Right.
our health, and that they're helping us, that they're not, you know, just offering us medication to mask, you know, symptoms that we're having, but that we're saying, okay, you have this symptom, and here's what you can do to, you know, to get to a point where we're taking you off the medication, not to where we're increasing the dosage.
Right,
You know,
right.
that's my little soap thing right there, where
Right.
it's just like we have to advocate, you know. And then speaking of advocacy, you know, and we're talking about advocating for ourselves, you know, there are a lot of us who are in the age range that we're in, or those of us who are living a life less young, where we are experiencing, like you said earlier, that you alluded to earlier, that we're taking care of our aging parents.
Right.
So when we talk about advocacy, you know, we're seeing a lot of you know, people who are Gen Xers or baby boomers who are taking care of their parents now, and they're finding that they're having to advocate for them as
Right.
well. So I want to talk a little bit about your experience with you know, being a caregiver, as you mentioned, for your mom, and when that took place and what that experience was like.
You know, my as far as advocating for her, because my sister and I are both we fight for what's right. And we did that for our mother. And her medical care was, you know, we managed everything all along the way. And so things, as far as her medical care goes, went very well. But I do attribute a lot of that to having that master's in gerontology. Because I knew the questions to ask. I knew which medications were problematic. If I could say anything to a parent, to a daughter or a son that is caring for an older parent, is to be very aware of geriatric pharmacology. Because a lot of times when aging people are go to a doctor and they put them on a medication, the medication causes side effects that could either be mild or very severe. And they go back to the doctor. And instead of getting put on a new medication, they may be given medication to treat the side effects. Well, we all know that pharmaceuticals, if you anyone that watches television and the advertisement for the drug comes on, right? And people are walking on the beach and they're having dinner and drinking wine, and then before the commercial goes off, this medication may cause, and then there's this long list, and the narrator has speed it up now, right?
And cause death,
Well,
and you're just like, wait, whoa, you speedball past that, right?
I mean, there have been times where I've looked at the television and went, seriously, I live with the problem. I will live with the issues rather than take that, you know, and so I think that's one of the things that caregivers of their parents really need to pay attention to make sure that the drugs are, you know, Dr. Google is a wonderful resource. You need to know what that drug interacts with and how that cocktail of drugs that your parent might be on, how those drugs are interacting with each other.
Right.
And then you may start to see, okay, that is why we're seeing this particular symptom show up now. So
Right.
that is the one thing that I would tell anyone caring for a parent. Make sure you are aware of
Right.
how that cocktail of drugs interact and the effect that it has on your parent.
Yeah.
Because there are medications that mimic other
Right.
diseases.
Right.
And you might get treated for something that isn't a new disease that has come up. It's actually something that has happened as a result of the medication, which, by the way, can cause new chronic illnesses
Right.
to appear.
Right.
So that would be my best advice
Yeah.
to anyone, is to just make sure that you have a complete understanding
Yeah.
of how the pharmaceutical drugs that your parent is taking
Right.
affects their body, both
Yeah.
physically and mentally.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and that's excellent advice to give. And that also speaks to what we were talking about advocating for yourself. Because,
Right.
eventually, if you are in the habit of taking care of yourself and being aware of the medications that you're taking and taking care of your body, if if for some reason something happens to you,
Right.
you're able to pass that information on to your loved one. And
Right.
have them be a part of your care and of what it is that you're doing, so that when something happens and you may not be in a state to be able to advocate for yourself, they can pick
Right.
up that mantle and carry that on for you and say, well,
Right.
this is what my parent was doing prior to this. They were taking this medication, and this is what ex the exercise regimen was. This is something that they were doing. And so it's just a matter of having a conversation and not waiting until something happens
Oh,
before we
absolutely.
jump in, because when we jump in when something happens, then it's like, well, I don't know what they took. My parents live in another state, so
Right.
I don't know what they take on a daily basis. I'm not familiar with what their normal regimen is. But my sister lives with them, so she is aware of those
She,
things. So there is
right.
someone who is aware of what it is that they're taking, what their daily activity entails, and it's important
Right.
for us to reach out and establish those relationships, especially if they do not live near us. And so, like you said, it's making sure that we're aware of the medications and things that they're taking and how they interact. But then it's also a matter of having to deal with it on a mental level as well. Because
Right.
just like you said, as a person that is living life less young and going through the things that you're going through, and menopause and aging yourself, and now for that with taking care of an aging parent, I can only imagine what
Well,
that.
you know, it's a cliche. You can't pour from an empty cup. And you should take care of yourself first if you are caring for a parent. Easier said than done. It is something that you would definitely have to be disciplined with and practice. My mother had a beautiful heart for service and helping people. And my sister and I inherited that heart. And so taking care of her first was just a natural instinct for me. If I had to do it all over again, I would definitely try and learn to care for myself first, because as a result of being that person with, I got to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this.
Right.
It did affect me, both mentally and physically. And the physical challenges are still something that I'm working through. Because I did neglect myself, because she was the most important person, because that was my heart.
Yeah.
It was my heart.
Yeah. And that's what you do as a nurturer, especially as women. We nurture and we take on the responsibility of taking care of that person, and we want to make sure that they're getting the best care. And in doing that, like you said, we do tend to neglect ourselves at times.
Absolutely.
And then we have to turn it around and say, okay, how can I best support that person if I'm not the best version of myself? Or if I'm not healthy, or something happens to me, if I'm not taking care of myself and I get sick, then who's going to take care of my aging parent or my aging loved one?
Correct.
And sometimes we bypass that, in our effort to just say, no, I'm taking care of that person. And like you said, that person is first and foremost. And it's not being selfish to put ourselves first to make sure that we're in peak condition mentally and physically to be able to take on that responsibility. Because for some, it is a short process, because depending on the care that that person needs, some people, they may be in the fourth stage of cancer, or they may be in where unfortunately it may not be long that you're caring for them, because their disease is so progressive that they lose their life at a accelerated pace.
Right.
But then you have those who may have something that is more degenerative that may take a little longer. And you'll find yourself not taking care of them for a short period of time, but for an extended period of time. For some people, it goes on for years, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. My sister and I cared for my mother. It was about 7.5 years.
That's a long time.
Yes.
That's a lot of life that goes on, because like we hear people saying now, life just keeps on lifing, right?
Right.
So yeah, life is lifing, and things are going on, and you're having to put some things on pause, like you said, in the effort to take that person to the appointments that they may have, depending on the
Absolutely.
level of care. So, speak a
Absolutely.
little to that. That
Right.
I'm sure that
Right.
was an experience.
It was an experience, but when I look back on it now, we walked her home. We are believers, and we believe that she ascended, she transitioned to heaven. And, those 7.5 years was walking her home. And from the day that we started to care for her until she transitioned, we were at her bedside. And if I had to do it all over again, I would. I would do a few things differently. One would be to take better care of myself. But, it's all good. I'm getting the healthcare issues that I neglected taking care of now. And, life moves on.
Yes. Yes, like you said, because it's a life less young, and in that, it entails a lot of self-care. It entails a lot of adjustments. It entails a lot of learning, because it just goes to show that I was told a long time ago, and I don't remember who it was who told me, but they always said, you learn from your womb to your tomb. There's always something that we do not know. There's always something that we're not aware of. And I think as we remain open-minded, and as long as we, seek to have platforms like this where we can have the conversations, then it's going to be, it's a road less traveled, but it's also a road that is a life that is less young.
Yes.
What are we doing to position ourselves to make the most of the things that are happening to us, and to embrace some of those things, And I think sometimes what happens is we tend to be combative. We want to fight against aging instead of, they tell you to grow old gracefully. We hear that. Do we hear that cliche all the time?
Let me tell you,
You
lean
grow,
into it.
yes,
Yes,
lean into
yes.
it, yield into it. And so, with that, like you said, condolences on the passing of your beautiful mom. When we put so much time, like you said, 7.5 years is a long time. And then when that
Right.
person is no longer here, you've already established more than established routines and things that you were doing, and now that person isn't here.
Right.
And you're like, okay, so now what I do? What do I do? My parents experienced that with my grandmother. My grandmother was 105 years old. She lived with
Yes.
my parents for 26 years before she transitioned.
Right.
And that's a long time, and now all of a sudden, you're not getting up to go and bathe her, you're not getting up to go and make sure that she's eating. And then it's how do you go back to
Right.
recapturing your life?
And that was a really big adjustment for me. It
Yeah.
was re that was huge. It was a really big adjustment because it's like, what do I do now? And who am I? I'm
And
no
it's
longer, Barbara
I was
the
going to say
caregiver.
it's not, right. It's almost likened to, those of us who have children, and you've raised your children for a time, and now they're going off into the world to carve their own path, and
Right.
now you're like, okay, so now who am I again, and what am I doing again,
It's funny you would say that because when my daughter went off to college, that is exactly what happened to me. It was an emptiness syndrome that I was not prepared for. I thought that I would be okay, but that's a whole nother talk show too.
But definitely something worth touching on, because yeah, it is. It's almost like empty nesting all over again, because you have created this new aspect of your life that involves caring for someone on a
Right.
daily basis, and now that person is not here, and you're like, okay, so I'm starting all over again. And that
Right.
almost yields to the importance, like you said, of taking care of you first, so that way you're
Right.
not losing yourself in the process. You're still present with that person, but you're still making sure that you're doing things to extend and to grow and expand who you are, so that
Right.
way and it's I don't believe that it's being morbid when you say, that person is here, but that they are going through an illness. And that the result of that illness is going to eventually, involve the passing of that person, and where we don't want to think about that, and that's it's understood. We don't want to
Right.
sit there and think about the end of life for a person that we care so deeply for,
Right.
But at some point we do have to say, okay, I need to make sure that I'm still living life along with them. And I love that you said that, we walked her.
Right.
We walked her to where she needed to go, and where she was eventually going to be. And
Right.
that's so beautiful, but it's just like, okay, as we're walking, what are we doing to make sure that our legs don't collapse from under us so that we can continue to walk?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it takes practice. It takes a plan. You just can't get up and go, okay, this is what I'm going to do for me today, because you have to prioritize everything on the list, but you also need to make yourself a priority. Yes.
That's it. You
And
got to make
I
some
would
time.
tell, anyone who is see this as a future journey, you will need to make yourself a priority. I know that, and you have to do it in a way that is not selfish, but you have to make yourself a priority in your heart. I mean,
Yeah.
it's a work of the heart to know that you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that
Yeah.
it is a work of the heart.
Yeah. And it is a journey. It is a
It is a
journey.
journey.
It is a journey, you know, and like you said, it is riddled with twists and turns and aches
As
and
all,
pains.
yes, as all journeys are, you know,
Yeah.
we take many, many journeys throughout your lifetime, throughout the lifespan, and you know, being a caregiver, I think that anyone who has a parent or a guardian, we're living much longer than our ancestors, than even our grandparents and their parents. We're living much longer. And the longer you live, the more vulnerable you will be to the environment,
Right.
to the just, you know, your activities of daily living. Things become much more fragile. And that's going to happen for everyone throughout their lifespan. You know, we're not getting out alive. And you know, I think it's important to make a plan. I think that you need to tell people, your family especially, these are my wishes, not necessarily wishes for the end of life, but your wishes for the journey that you're about to go on with me. You know, I think people need to be honest, and they need to sit down and have those conversations. And especially in the African American community, those are conversations that we don't like to have, but they are necessary. People need to know where your insurance policies are. They need to know what your finances look like. They need to know the doctors, the prescriptions you're on. You know, you may think you know everything about a person's likes and dislikes. You need to find that out. I've already told my daughter, look, don't be taking me to the Dollar Tree just so I can go buy stuff. That is not necessary for me.
Right.
I am not a shopper now. So that's not going to make me feel like I'm engaging in the world, right?
Right.
These
right.
are the things that I like. This
right.
is what I want you to pay attention to for me. I want
right.
to watch a good movie, or let's take me outside for a walk. I like nature,
right.
you know,
right.
but don't, I don't need to go on these little excursions.
Right.
So that I can buy dollar
right.
junk.
I love that, but it's so true. You know, you don't know someone until you're in the same space with them, and you can't assume that this is what they like. And so, yes, while you are able of mind and sound, you know,
right,
and sound of mind, it's important that we are vocal about the things that we like to do, the things that you know, may be triggers for us. So that way you're
correct.
not constantly triggering someone, having them do something that they despise because
that
you
you
didn't
don't
take
want to
time to get
engage
to
in.
know.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And so it's important that we're able to.
Right. Right. So no one needs to say, well, she's just being ungrateful. No. This,
right.
We made a plan. Stick to the plan.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it's important, like you said, to document things. For certain people, it's a living will. For certain people, getting with an estate
right.
planner. You know, like you said, it doesn't always have to be end of life, but just if something should happen, in the instance that something should happen, these are some things that I like to do. But one thing
right.
that was beautiful, my grandmother was in, you know, God rest her soul, she was in really good health. She loved doing word searches. So every day, I mean, up until she passed at 105 years old, My father would go every day. He didn't live in New York. He would go down to the store and he would pick up the newspaper and he would get her. She liked to do little word searches in there. Then what he would do is he would come home and he would blow it up so that she could see it because she had cataracts at one point. He blew up so
Right.
she could see it. So all she liked was to have a little cup of coffee. She liked to have her
I love
donut
it.
from Dunkin' Donuts, and he would go and get her. So she had her special place that she sat at the table. She had a room. She had a little apartment that was downstairs at my parents' house, and they had a little chair that would she would sit on, and it would lift her up the stairs so she could
Okay.
come in. And so she would sit in the living room with my parents and my mom and dad, and her would have their cup of coffee, and she would have her donut, and she would do her word searches, and she loved that. And they would sit and talk to her. And that meant everything to her. They didn't
Right.
just have her sitting down in the basement like she was in the dungeon or somewhere like that. She was in her
Correct.
apartment. She had her
Correct.
pictures and the memorabilia of family and everything else like that. But they knew that that was something that she liked. And every morning, my dad would go to the top of the stairs and he would whistle down to her and she would say, good. And then she'd come on upstairs and that's how she would start her day. And it was
That's wonderful.
beautiful. Because it was something that she enjoyed.
That
They took
she
time to
enjoyed.
do the things that she liked. She liked certain spicy foods and things. So they made sure they gave her what she wanted to have
Correct.
for because that was a part of her quality of life. It made
Correct.
it bittersweet for her. But there were
Right.
also things that my family liked too. If she liked crab legs. So then they would go and they would get their favorite seafood. And so now everybody's having things that they like. And it became an experience and a joy for everyone. It wasn't just
Right.
specific to her. Everyone was benefiting from it.
Right,
And then when she
right.
got tired, she went on downstairs and went took her nap. And then they were able to go about doing the things that they like to do during the course of the day. But they didn't lose out on it. They like drinking a good cup of coffee, so they sat up there and had coffee with her. So then you start
Right.
looking at what are some things that we can do together,
Right.
that we both enjoy. You
Right.
know, you were raised in the same environment, so there may be a few things that you like that are the same, or some things that you can introduce to each other that you didn't know you like. And so I think a lot of it, like you were talking about earlier, is about, being able to express what it is that brings you joy, but also in doing that, you're advocating for yourself. You're
Right,
advocating
right.
for your
That,
safe self at this
and
time,
that,
right now.
yeah, that community, having that as you age, if you have your village, if you have that community, it means everything. It just means absolutely everything because there are so many people who are aging that might not have children, a spouse may be dead or they never got married. And loneliness as you age, personally, I believe that is the next public health emergency.